May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 986. O poor, distressed, thirsty soul, the fountain is just by, whose waters run both full and free. Come, drink, and never die. Hymn 986.
Reading from the Holy Scriptures this morning is taken from the 14th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. She brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitudes away, that they might go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. He said unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke, and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. They that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. The wind was contrary, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him, they were troubled. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." When they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. When the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touch were made perfectly whole. May the Lord bless to us his word.
Hymn number 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest, and know that he's your conquering Lord. Hymn 1028.
Thank you.
Lord, teach us to pray. Gracious God, we do pray that thou now wilt shine upon us as we come into thy courts, and grant to us the light of the glorious gospel, the warmth of the Son of Righteousness to arise with healing in his wings. And may we prove that he is our Son, and he is our God, that thou wilt bring us safely through to our desired haven at last, to crown thee Lord of all in heaven above. We thank thee for bringing us once again into thy courts, and sparing us once again to thy day. Help us, Lord, to remember thy day and keep it holy. And may it be a day, Lord, when we are kept by thee. And may we know the hand, the good hand of our God upon us. We ask for thy abiding presence here this day, that thou wouldst come and bless us with life in our souls, that thou wouldst grant that thy word might be made a blessing and profitable to many. May it be a word of life and power. Grant, Lord, living preaching and living hearing. And then, Lord, grant that help to walk out thy word. May we not be forgetful hearers, but doers by thy grace of thy word. Do speak to our souls that which thou seest each one has need of. Be not silent, we beg, but grant thy blessing. Grant thine aid and power. Grant, Lord, the assurance of thy love. And lead us into thy truth. Bless, we beg, thy poor, and fill them with good things this day. And Lord, if we come into thy house not poor, do bless us by making known to us our spiritual poverty and bankruptness, and then supply all our need. Supply our poverty, Lord, relieve it from thine hand. So, Lord, we ask to be remembered by thee at this hour of worship. Bless each soul before thee. We remember affectionately, Lord, this church and people, and ask thee to watch over them and to supply their needs. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast healed those who have been sick, and pray, Lord, that thou wouldst go on to be gracious unto them, and grant to them that complete restoration, and do sanctify life's afflictions and life's trials and tribulations to us each. Lord, sanctify our times of prosperity also. And may we be led nearer to thee. We would remember a little babe, Lord, who's been brought into thy courts. Right at the start of life's journey, we thank thee, Lord, for that gift. We pray for her, that thou wouldst watch over her young life. That thou wouldst bless her with health and strength, sound mind. In thy time, Lord, may she be blessed with a knowledge, a saving knowledge of the truth. And do remember that family and bless the parents and all parents, Lord, here in bringing up thy children. Lord, may their children indeed prove to be thy children. But do grant help, Lord, in that exercise. May it be a prayerful exercise of each to seek to guide their children in thy ways. Remember the deacons of this cause and help them, Lord, in the choice of the hymns which are sung this day. Grant a confirmation between what we sing and what we meditate upon. And Lord, help us to sing thy praises prayerfully, reverently. Help us, Lord, to enter into the glorious truths. And could it please thee, Lord, to grant thy blessing even in the singing of the hymns. Let fall some handfuls of purpose. Be with any, Lord, who have any particular trial, and grant them, Lord, thine aid and help. Bless those who are elderly, strength declining. Lord, may they be enabled to lean even harder upon thee as eternity draws ever nearer. May they be led out of self to Jesus and prove, Lord, that thou art with them at their journey's end. Be with those in the midst of life with business concerns and who have to face the world as it is in work. Grant help, Lord, to face the world prayerfully, carefully, at all times seeking to remember thee and thy word and to live in accordance with it and not to be ashamed or afraid to be different. May we not be left to follow the multitude to do evil. May we be given, Lord, that courage and that love to thee to stand faithfully and steadfastly for the truth's sake. Remember any, Lord, who have life's changes before them, one, Lord, who shortly will be moving to a far-off city. Do watch over and be with him and guide him and bless him in his soul, and remember him in his providential pathway. Bless each member of the church and grant, Lord, thy blessing and favour might be toward them. And may they prove in the days, weeks and months to come that it is a time appointed for thee, by thee, for their blessing. May they know much of thy presence, much of thy favour, much of thy love. And Lord, may they know an increase in the church. Do bless each member of the congregation. May each in thy own good time be taught of thee and led to thee. and do add to this congregation such as shall be saved, call by grace those wandering in sin, those in disgrace. And yet, Lord, they're not too far for thee to put thine hand upon and to bring into thy courts. Do remember all thy servants this day as they labour in Zion throughout the world, and bless their labours and work with each, and confirm the word with signs following. Remember each congregation which gathers. Remember those that will gather without one of thy servants, but may they not gather without thee. We would remember, Lord, thy servant, Mr. Haddo, in his weakness and illness, and pray that thou wouldst be with him this day and grant to him a blessing indeed, that in this unexpected trial he may prove that he and his cause are in thy hand for good. May he be blessed in his soul, and if it could be thy will to grant healing in his body and restoration to the ministry, we would be thankful. Do raise up more labourers to preach thy word, and work in Zion, we beg. We would thank thee for thy mercies, for thy loving kindnesses, for thy providential and spiritual care. And we ask, Lord, now that thou wouldst come and bless us. Fill us, Lord, with thy glorious gospel. Grant thee power and the authority of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Lead us and guide us into thy truth. Speak to us, we beg, for the words of eternal life. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 386. Weary of earth, myself, and sin, dear Jesus, set me free, and to thy glory take me in, for there I long to be. Hymn 386.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention. And direct your thoughts this morning to Psalm 107, verses 29 and 30. Psalm 107, verses 29 and 30. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. He maketh the storm a calm. You've just been singing in that hymn, so confirming to the text this morning that desire, Lord, let a tempest-tossed soul that peaceful harbour see, where waves and billows never roll, for there I long to be. Our text this morning is the answer to that prayer. He maketh the storm calm. The illustration, as we find in the previous verses, is of a ship doing its business in the great waters of the deep. A little ship. As it goes on through the waves and the sea toward its appointed, destined harbour, a stormy wind arises. And that wind lifts up the waves of the sea. Lifts up the waves of the sea so high that we have, but they mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Those waves seem so high to blot out the sun and the sky. Great heights and then great depths. That little craft is tossed with waves, seemingly at the mercy of the elements. What great depths do they sink into in this storm? What great fears arise? They will go to a watery grave. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Drunken man isn't in control of his faculties. And those that are in the ship, in the storm, are brought painfully to realize they're not in control. And their craft, they may be experienced like those fishermen, the disciples, on that Sea of Galilee. But they're brought to their wits' end, the margin being that all their wisdom is swallowed up. Beloved friends, do you know where all your wisdom to be swallowed up is in trouble? To be brought to nothing? Not to know what to do? There's one door open, to cry unto the Lord. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. They cry to God for help, and as a answer, the Lord, who first raised the stormy wind, bids it cease. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Sea goes quiet, tranquil. And with thanksgiving, that ship can move on to the harbour. And they rejoice and are glad because of the quietness now of the sea. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. He maketh the storm calm. For there are many storms in life. In which, if you are a child of God, you will be brought into the knowledge of these verses, some more than others. Some are brought into great providential trials. Some of you have known that, haven't you? Sicknesses, adversities, tribulation. The wind to be contrary. How many of us have known that storm in the soul, that storm of temptation, that storm of conviction, that storm of darkness? But let us remember, there is no storm in your life which you may this morning be passing through. But what is not known unto God? He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. Doesn't lift itself. A storm needs God's divine permission before it begins to do its work. Almighty God raised your storm. He appointed the day it began. He has appointed how long that storm will last. He has appointed how ferocious and strong that wind will be. You cannot blow any stronger than what your God has commanded. He has ordained every tossing that your soul is going through, all ordered by his hand. He has appointed an end to your storm when it has done its work. He commandeth, raiseth a stormy wind. In his own time, he will make that same storm to be a calm, so that the waves that are threatening to send your soul to the deep, the bottom of the ocean, be completely calm, completely still, completely silent. He commandeth. Storms obey him. Waves obey him. They are beneath his feet, under his control. And they obey his command instantly. Now the Lord in his sovereignty has saw fit for love's sake to bring you into this storm, this darkness, this temptation, this difficulty, this attack of the devil. And has that storm blotted out all sunshine, so it's dark within? You can't see where you're going. You can't, but he can. The sun is still shining, though you cannot see it this morning. God is still on his throne. Lo, these very waves are hiding him from your sight. And both your soul and this storm, which is raging within, is in his hand. This storm is perfectly beneath his feet. Those waves that tossed that boat that those disciples were in, and made them stagger, brought them to their wit's end, made them melt for fear. Whatever they did, it was no difference. They couldn't make any headway. They felt completely out of control, just as you do this morning. And yet, all the while that storm was raging, the Lord walked on those very waves. Those waves that tossed the sea didn't toss the Saviour, did they? Your sea, your storm, doesn't toss the Saviour either. For love's sake, he has ordained it. You cannot see why his love has ordained it this morning, but hereafter he will make you know. And you will surely find he was too wise to err, and oh, too good to be unkind. Because all his dealings with you, child of God, are in love. because he has for you an eternal love. Therefore, every single dealing of him with your soul is in love and mercy. And he sees that there is a needs be this morning that you be found tossed with waves. He sees that there is a need be this morning that those waves are so strong that the sound of them seems to drown everything else out. You seem to feel their power to the very depths of your soul shaking you. And you're found in the depths. You feel only too painfully to be out of your depth. God is not out of his depth. And God has not made a mistake in bringing you into the storm. This is part of the way to heaven. This is part of the way to your desired haven. There's no other way but through this storm. You've got to go through it. You can't go around it. You can't turn around and go back, because that will end in hell. You've got to go through it. But he commanded you into the path, knowing you'd come into this storm. That storm which took you completely by surprise. You didn't see coming on the horizon. The Lord saw, because he ordained it. He permitted it. He's not permitting it to destroy you, but he's permitting it for the trial of your faith. He's permitting it to make you more dependent upon the Lamb. And it's in adversity that you are drawn nearest to him. Because when you, all your wisdom is swallowed up, there's only one way for you to turn, only one way for you to go. It's to cry unto the Lord. He who is all wisdom, all strength, and all power. Cry unto the Lord in their trouble. You're not forbidden to cry unto the Lord in your trouble this morning. The devil tells you there's no hope. The devil tells you to give up. The devil tells you it's no use. The devil tells you it's too late. The devil tells you that way that is coming towards your boat will overturn it. What does the Lord say? Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. In the day of trouble. One of the reasons you're brought into trouble is to be taught to pray and to be taught the value of prayer. To be brought to need the hand of God. To be brought to need his hand upon you to help, to sustain, to protect, to defend, to deliver. He'll do all those things. You may long have to cry unto the Lord in your trouble. You won't come out of it, friend, until you've been brought to your knees. Your own natural wisdom is not going to bring you out of this trial. Your own natural strength is not going to do any good. Your strength is on your knees. And your trouble will only go deeper until you're brought to that point. Lord, save me. Lord, defend me. And he will. He who brought you into the trial will bring you out of it as well. Are your sins a trouble this morning? Like mountains, do they rise? Mounting up to the heaven and going down again to the depths and causing your soul to know much of darkness, much of despair, much of sorrow, much of distress. Cry unto the Lord in your trouble. Bring your sins to him. We read of those disciples who went and told Jesus this morning. Go and tell Jesus what your trouble is. Tell him how sinful you are. Tell him how they mount up to the heavens and go down to the depths, that they are immeasurable. Tell him that you have sins which stagger you. Sins of light and knowledge. Sins that you know are wrong but still you commit. Sins that you love. Sins that are a grief to you and yet you cannot get free from them. Sins of worldliness. Sins of carnality. Sins of disobedience. A wretched heart which loves the things of this world, the pursuits of the world, the pleasures of the world, the lusts of the world, the company of the world, and which hates the things of God, which hates his house, his day, his word, his people. Sins while you're in the house of God. Sins while you're in your home. Sins while you're at the workplace. Sins against a holy God. Sins against his righteous laws. Sins against his name. Yes, that precious name that you depend upon and plead. Every sin we commit is against his name. Sins against his name, his blood. Sins against his love. Sins immense as is the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane. And he will hide you. In his own good time and in his own good way, he'll bring you out of this storm which so distresses you. You may have to wait till the fourth watch of the night, but the morning will come. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. When he makes that storm a calm, Satan will not be able to resurrect that storm. When he makes that storm a calm, there will not even be a ripple that is allowed to roll over your soul. It will be a complete calm, a perfect peace, complete stillness. And where will you be found? At the feet of Jesus. Where will you be found? on your knees. Where will you be found? At the cross. That's where he stills the storms of the soul. He maketh the storm a calm. Peace by his cross has Jesus made. It's the only place where a burdened sinner will find peace. Living while they behold him die for their sins. And as a poor tempted one this morning, you will be brought to that cross. You will see your burden lifted from your shoulders. Your storm lifted from your shoulders and transferred to his shoulders. And you'll see him bear that full weight to Calvary's cross. Pay all that you owe. Finish the work and satisfy what justice demanded of you. He maketh the storm a calm. So that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. It's your desired haven this morning. Is it to be found at that cross? Is it to be found at submissive? Is it to be found in the presence of a Saviour? Is it to be found in that path of blessing and covenant, love and mercy, pardon and peace? He bringeth them. You can't bring yourself there. He's going to bring you there. In a moment of his choosing, he who holds the helm of your ship, he who guides what direction you should go in, when he sees that the perfect time has come, he'll bring you into his presence. He'll bring you to that cross. He'll favour you with a revealed Christ in your soul. And you will prove that the Lord on high is still mightier than the noise of those many waters that are in your soul this morning. Why these fears then? Behold, 'tis Jesus holds the helm and guides the ship. He has not made a mistake. He cannot make a mistake. Then trust him. Trust him in the storm. Depend upon him. That faith, that little faith, which you have, and which you asked God to strengthen, to increase. This is the answer. Faith is strengthened in the trials. Faith is strengthened in those great waters. And when the Lord permits your trial to end, when the morning cometh and the sun of righteousness shines upon a tranquil sea, a perfect, complete, holy calm, which will come in your soul, then you will have to acknowledge He has answered your prayer. He strengthened your faith. He's given you that clearer sight of your interest in the things of God. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Then are they glad because they be quiet. He's going to make you thankful for the calm. Not take it for granted, but to be thankful and to realize a little of the great cost, that you may have that calm, that peace, that stillness, that quietness in your soul. What it costs the Saviour, what storms broke upon his head. Storms of awful vengeance. Storms of almighty wrath. Storms of great power. And he was the innocent sufferer we only deserve. To be brought into storms and then left. But the innocent sufferer, the Lord Jesus Christ, was brought into the greatest of all storms. For you, child of God. And this is part of the fellowship of his sufferings that he's calling you to walk in this morning. And lo, it be much longer, much deeper, much darker than you would have wished. Consider him. Consider him. Consider what trials he bore. Consider what temptations he endured. The devil never left him alone. Consider what sorrows and griefs he had to wade through. Consider those sins which you had committed, which the Lord laid upon him, how they oppressed his holy soul. Consider how during that life he was conscious of each and every sin around him and how it grieved him. Consider how he was brought to Calvary. How he was mocked. How he was jeered. How he was spat upon. How he was scourged. How he was betrayed. How he was forsaken of his disciples. How he was denied by Peter. Consider him. He bears the sin, your sin, believer, your guilt. To that cross, it was an immeasurable weight, but he bore it for a chosen race, and thus became their hiding place. See how as that sin is laid on him in that garden of Gethsemane, how it presses him to the ground, how it brings that mysterious, precious sweat of blood. The fountain opened, the blood which was to be applied to your soul as an atonement for sin, Consider what distress he was brought into. Real distresses, real griefs, real sorrow, real trouble. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He cried unto his Father in his distresses. You've got to cry to the Lord in your distresses. Walk the same path. He's going to bring you out of your distresses. The Lord had to go through his, didn't he? And pay that price to the very last extent. Consider him on that cross, mocked and taunted. Consider him in those hours of darkness, a darkness that had never come over the earth before and never has since. It was a darkness that could be felt. A darkness that could not have been darker. Consider the Lord in those hours of darkness. What darkness there must have been in that holy soul as he suffered in his body and in his soul for sin. He, your hell endured, believer. And there was an eternity in every second upon that cross that he bore. And he felt the complete misery, the complete darkness, the complete shame, the complete despair, the complete distress, the complete loneliness that you, believer, would have felt to all eternity. He entered into what you would have sunk into as a lost soul eternally, that your storm may be still and quiet. How bitter that cup. No heart can conceive which he drank quite up. That sinners might live, his way was much rougher. And darker than mine did Christ, my Lord, suffer. And shall I repine? Shall we repine? Dare we repine? That we bear, that we are privileged and favoured of the Lord to watch with him in his temptations and called to bear that path? In a little measure? Friend, we won't get any comfort looking within. In our trials, we've got, as God gives us the grace and as his Spirit enables us, we've got to look up to Jesus. Look away from your trials to his. Consider him and endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. But consider this, friend, he finished the work. He completed it. It is done. And it is done forever. You remember what John was told to write in that book of Revelation? It is done. Done for you, believer. Finished and complete. What gladness is the Lord going to raise in your heart? Because your storms have been quiet. What rejoicing and singing there's going to be as he blesses your soul and favours the sign of righteousness to burst through those clouds. And for the morning to come, the morning cometh. Satan can't prevent it. The storm won't be forever. You won't drown. You won't sink to rise no more. You're going to be brought out of your distresses. He bringeth them out of their distresses. Whatever your distresses may be, whether it be in your family, in your business, in your body, in your home, he's bringing you out. He can deal with that difficult character you've got to live with. He can manage that matter which is so distressing you and driving you to distraction. He can manage it in a moment. He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. And where is it going to bring you at last? To understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Who can understand the loving kindness of the Lord? Who can fathom it? I will never fathom it, believer. But in this path, this right way that he's leading you to, this is the way to heaven. He's going to show you a little of the immense depths there is to the loving kindness of the Lord. He's going to make you even more thankful than you are already for this loving kindness. And to desire it more and more. The loving kindness of the Lord that didn't leave your soul in adversity. The loving kindness of the Lord that did not spare you from coming into the path of adversity because he saw you had a needs be for it. And a loving Father in love laid that hand upon you. And the hand of the Saviour, which this morning has laid upon you this rod, is the same hand that was wounded and pierced for you. Hand of pardon, hand of sanctification, an all wise, all loving, all powerful hand. And he's bringing you at last to your desired haven, to heaven, where there are no more storms, no more waves, no more sea, no more darkness, no more separation, no more out of your depth, no more devil. Perfect calm, perfect peace, perfect quietness, perfect stillness, perfect rejoicing. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven, and he'll bring you to that point where he brought those disciples in that fourth watch of the night. Truly, thou art the Son of God. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £830, and yesterday for the Gadsby Memorial Christmas Fund amounted to £870, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pont will preach on Tuesday evening, and Dr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 356. Does the gospel word proclaim rest for those who weary be? Then my soul put in thy claim, sure that promise speaks to thee. Marks of grace I cannot show, all polluted is my breast, yet I weary am, I know, and the weary long for rest. Hymn 356.
Thank you.
do forgive, O Lord, all thy pure and holy eyes have seen wrong in our worship this morning. Do calm the storms of life and bid them be still. And give us that grace to be content with whatever thy sovereign will has designed for us. Grant thy help in the Sabbath school this afternoon. May the seed sown bear a copious harvest in thy time. And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, abide with us each now and for evermore. Amen.